We always look forward to this moment on a Monday, Dr. Pearl. I promise you, it brings so much value to our show. It brings so much value to the lives of our listeners. And we're always just so delighted when you join us for the Pearls of Wisdom, right? So, since we couldn't play our intro, let's just remind people because of technical glitches. Yeah. But let's just remind everybody because they always hear Pearl, Dr. Pearl, compare Pearls of Wisdom. Oh, it's about her.
No.
Pearls of Wisdom is... is a place where we...
Right. It's a place where we talk about the scriptures.
Yes.
And those are our pearls of wisdom. Yes. So it just happens to be a God incidence that my name happens to be Pearl, but definitely not because we believe in John 12:32.
Yeah.
Says, you know, if my name, that's the name of Jesus,
right,
be lifted high, then I will draw good. Jesus will draw all people unto him.
Himself.
So
yeah.
It's definitely the pearls of wisdom are coming from the Bible and not from Pearl's mind.
Yes.
So everything we speak and say is coming from the context of the Bible, the word of God.
Yeah.
So that's where we're gleaning from the pearls of wisdom.
And we do it every Monday at 1:30 right here on the daytime break. Dr. Pearl was here last week and the weeks before, and you know, she challenged us so much when it comes to the issue of prayer, to say, hey, take a moment, pause. You know, you probably pray every day, but have you ever stopped to check on what kind of prayers are you praying? Are you always going to God with your grocery shopping lift asking for maguinya, and in your language, you know, because you're always making these funny examples? Or, you know, are you also going to God and interceding and praying for others and, you know, taking time to listen as you pray to the voice of God as well? And I believe you're back with a brand new series this week.
Yeah, that's right. We're starting a brand new series. We've been, like you said, talking about prayer.
Yeah.
And today's series is actually as a result of a message that I released on my social media platforms yesterday. Mm-hmm. And there was such a strong response to it that I really felt that I think we need to talk about it as well on the radio.
Right.
And it was a word, it was really a prophetic word that God had given me, warning that, you know, just kind of cautioning the church, warning the church to say, send this word out. And God had been speaking to me a lot about Ichabod.
Mm.
And I got so many confirmations, you know, on TikTok, on Facebook, on Instagram, everywhere.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just kept on X, kept saying, oh my God, that's a word in season. That's a word in season. I got lots of messages from pastors as well, direct messages saying that really we resonate with that word. So I really wanted to just share it more. And the word that God kept giving me was the word Ichabod.
Right.
Ichabod. And he said, tell my people to be careful. Beware of Ichabod.
Mm.
So today we're just going to introduce the subject, talk about Ichabod. What is Ichabod?
Yeah.
What does it represent? And then in the following series, we're going to talk about how do we avoid Ichabod?
Mm.
What are some of the entrances, legal doorways and accesses to allowing Ichabod to come in?
Sure.
Because it's not easy to see Ichabod. Mm. It's not like you're going to wake up one day and just say, I'm in Ichabod.
Mm.
You know, so today we'll talk about what is Ichabod. In the following series, we'll talk about how to identify maybe if you are in Ichabod.
Yeah.
And then we'll close off around, you know, prayers to say, what do we do when we find ourselves in a place of Ichabod?
Yeah.
So just to set the foundation initially, I want to take us first to scripture. And the whole story of Ichabod is found in 1 Samuel chapter 4. And if we go to 1 Samuel chapter 4, the verse 21 specifically, I'm going to read it. And then we're going to sort of dissect it so that we can better understand what we're talking about when we talk about Ichabod. So 1 Samuel 4, starting from verse 20, says this. It says, as she was dying, and the person being referred to here is the mother of Ichabod. It says, as she was dying, the woman attending to her said, do not be afraid, for you have given birth to a son.
Mm-hmm.
And then it said, but she did not respond or pay heed. Now, verse 21 said, and she named the boy Ichabod, saying, the glory has departed from Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So the name Ichabod, just to give context, the name Ichabod means the glory has departed.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're talking about Ichabod, we're talking about, has the glory departed?
Sure.
Has it departed from your life? Has it departed from my life? is it departed from the church, from leaders? So Ichabod is Hebrew for the glory has departed. And it says, she named the boy Ichabod, saying, the glory has departed from Israel because the ark of the Lord has been captured. And her father-in-law and her husband had been killed. Verse 22, the glory has departed from Israel, she said, for the ark of the Lord has been captured. So this is the context and the background.
Yeah.
Is that this is the day, this is the time she was giving birth in labor, and she found out, she learned that there were three terrible things that she learned in declaring this season of Ichabod. She found out that her father-in-law, who was Eli, the priest, had been killed. She found out that her husband also, well, in fact, her father-in-law died, not so much had been killed, but died. She also found out that her husband, who was Phinehas, the son of Eli, also died. And then, you know, the worst part of it is that the Ark of the Lord had been captured. And of course, when we read about the Ark of the Lord in the Old Testament, we know that the Ark of the Lord represented God's presence.
Yes.
So people would go to a temple for God's presence. The Ark of the Lord, you know, his presence in there, the tabernacle, representing the outer court, inner court, the Holy of Holies. So, but now, of course, in this dispensation, we know that God's presence is in us.
Yeah.
God doesn't dwell in a building. He doesn't dwell in a box, an altar box or anything, but he dwells in us.
So God is in temples.
Us. We are the temples of Holy Spirit. He indwells us. Holy Spirit indwells us. So now she found out that the Ark of the Lord had been captured. So a couple of things that happened as a result, like I said, she called her son after that. Ichabod, the presence of God has departed. So a couple of things I want to say. Number one, Ichabod is not easy to discern.
Sure.
Many times we think we're still okay. No, I'm good. Geshap. Na geshap. And if you
still
think,
pray every day,
I still pray.
There.
I still go to service every Sunday. I'm still in service. I haven't backslid because I'm there. But the question is, are you there physically in presence, you know, body form, or are you there? Are you there? Is your spirit there? Are you listening? Are you hearing the word of God? Or are you just there in it physically ticking the box just to say, I went to Sunday service?
Yeah.
Is your spirit being provoked? Are you being inspired? Are you there in spirit, body, and mind, or just in body?
Is the word still piercing?
Is the word still piercing? Are you still being convicted?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's possible to be there and you're not being convicted. So it's not easy to discern being in a place of Ichabod. And one of the things that the Lord showed me, he actually used Samson as an example of how difficult it is to actually discern Ichabod. Because remember, Samson had been set apart. He'd been consecrated. He was supposed to live a certain life, a holy life, separated for God, you know, and not to cut his hair as an example of his covenant with God. That's the life he was supposed to live. Mm-hmm. But we find in reading that story in the book of Judges, that bit by bit, Samson started now living a sinful life. He started hanging out with the honeys, you know, as they would say in the United States, you know. I'll always have these American euphemisms because I grew up in Canada and I grew up in the States. For all of you peeps out there who like to have a fake American accent, please know that I did not, you know, get my accent off of TV or
like the rest of us, the music, movies.
It's not from watching too much TV, and it's also not from being in JFK airport for 5 minutes. Some of us will pick it up there, but no, I actually grew up in Ottawa, Canada, and then moved to the United States, high school, and did my first degree there. So I did live a little bit longer there. So. You can name the accent, but it's not fake. If you don't like it, but yeah, it's not fake.
It is what it is.
I think they got confused because I also speak Tswana. The languages. I speak Tswana, Zulu, etc. So that's why people think, no, but she can speak Wabona, Wabona. So now they think that the English is fake. Anyway, back to business. That was a little detour. So here we have Samson. We have Samson, and he gets into a place where, first of all, his hair is cut.
Yeah.
he's hanging out with Delilah. He's hanging out with the honeys.
Mm.
Wrong associations will get you into a place of Ichabod.
Sure.
Be careful who you associate with. Mm. It's not to say that the church must separate themselves from sinful people. We are the salt,
yeah.
But be careful of being yoked.
Mm.
Who do you walk with?
Mm.
When we associate with unrighteous people, we associate with them not in a yoking covenant relationship,
right.
but we associate with an agenda of winning them over to the
Amen.
Lord. Not to be absorbed
yes,
by
please.
Their sinful lifestyles,
yes.
but we are to be the light. We are to be the salt, all of that. So here's Samson, wrong associations, all of that. And there's three things I want to talk about in terms of what happened to him. The Bible tells us that in the first instance, his hair was cut off.
Mm-hmm.
His hair was cut off in Judges 16, verses 15 to 7. Hair is representative of glory.
Yes.
So the glory was gone.
Mm.
In the first stage of Ichabod, the glory of God departs. If you keep on living sinfully, there's a point where his glory will just, you'll be disconnected
yeah.
from him. And the glory, Ichabod, that's the first stage, his glory will go.
A little compromise here, a little compromise there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The thing is, Samson, just, you know, he would wake up, and because God's grace is upon us,
mm.
he'd wake up and he'd still find that he would, the Philistines would come, he'd still, yeah, the power is still there.
Mm.
And God can still work in your life, not because of us, but because he's working for the sake of the people.
Yeah.
So the power of God can still manifest in you, not because you are powerful and anointed, but because God still, the same God who used a donkey, mind you, the donkey wasn't holy,
yeah.
but because God wanted to use something to get to his people. So it's not necessarily about you being anointed. The yeah. glory may have departed from you, but God can still use you.
Sure.
Just for the sake of his people.
Yeah.
Secondly, the second thing is that God always gives us time to repent.
Amen.
You see? So he was allowing Samson to come back. And now Samson's busy thinking, I know, I'll just go back and da-da-da-da-da.
Mm.
God's power will still manifest. But one day Samson woke up and guess what? Ichabod.
Sure.
Ichabod, the glory. He did everything he could do. I don't know whether he was doing WWE, wrestling mania, trying to flex the muscles, whatever, but nothing happened. Nothing happened.
And it didn't happen overnight for him to get to that point.
It didn't, because God gave him grace to repent.
Sure.
But he didn't. So one day he woke up, Ichabod.
Yo.
The glory was gone. And guess what happened? It says that as a result of his, first of all, he was captured.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful that sin doesn't capture you.
Mm.
He was captured. He was, and they took out the Philistines. They took out his eyes.
Mm.
His eyes were removed. So after the glory is gone, stage one, Ichabod, stage two, the vision that you had for God, your eyes are gone.
Mm.
You may be a minister who God gave a vision, start this ministry. You go around clueless. You're blind.
Mm.
That vision that God had given you, your eyes are out. You can't see spiritually. You can't discern.
Mm.
So after Ichabod, the glory, the hair is gone. Then Ichabod stage two, the eyes are gone. You can't see. You have no direction. You are wandering, meandering in wilderness. Then the third stage of Ichabod, it says that he was bound. It says that he was actually tied up and he was bound in that scripture. If you read that actual scripture, it tells us that he was bound in chains, you know,
sure.
That's Judges 16:21. Then the Philistines seized him. They captured him. They took his eyes out, gouged his eyes out, took him down to Gaza, binding him with bronze shackles. Mm-hmm. They set him to grinding grain in the prison. So all of those things, you become imprisoned. It says, so he's lost vision, he's lost sight, and then he was bound up. So, and that's Judges 16:21.
Yeah.
When you move into a place of Ichabod, you get bound up in sin.
Mm.
You get bound up in divination.
Mm.
Now, if you read the story of Acts 16:16, there was a girl who looked like she was prophesying. She talked about, I know who you are. You are men of God. You've come to preach the gospel, which was right. But she was speaking through a demonic, occultic, perverted spirit of divination.
Yeah.
And so that spirit of divination mimics the prophetic.
Mm.
It mimics the prophetic. It's no longer, it's Ichabod. And when you're in Ichabod now, and God's glory has departed, and you keep moving into sin, you open up a legal door and a legal entrance for the demonic.
And you might think you're still prophesying.
You might still think you're prophesying, because the spirit of divination is also referred to as the python spirit.
Sure.
It wraps itself around you. Doesn't kill you immediately like a venomous snake. It kills you by slowly strangling the life out of you. It is referred to as the python spirit. So Ichabod slowly will move you to a place where God's glory departs. You are visionless, you are wandering, you are meandering, and then eventually it opens up at a door of divination.
Sure.
Whereby, so my prayer is that we'll not find ourselves in a place of Ichabod. The church will not find itself in a place of Ichabod. Join us next week so that you can find out, what do I do if I find myself in a place of Ichabod?
Yeah.
God forbid that we find ourselves there. That's always my prayer. Lord, help me not to find myself in a place of Ichabod.
Yeah.
And if I am there, show me quickly. Show me quickly so that I can find my way back to your Kabod, to your glory.
Amen.
Because that's where the revival is. It's in Kabod, not
Ichabod. That's a powerful one. Dr. Pearl,
I
can't wait for next week. I can't wait. We'll see you again next week at 1:30 sharp right here on Impact 103.
Thank you. Amen.